Hi, everyone. It's time for another 10K Saturday, and this week, you get to hear Allison, you know, fangirl a little, about her fave meteorologist, father of six, and Broadway lover, Dennis Phillips. I wonder if they have anything to talk about. You can learn what rule number seven is all about and why Dennis thinks Disney is safer than Walmart. I knew that in 2019, but it's good to know that we're all learning it now. Here we go.
And now is 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu.
Hello and welcome to another 10K Saturday. I'm Allison Burns, and if you're looking for our full episodes about imaginary luxury travel, those drop on Wednesdays. But today, you're here for this bonus interview episode, and I am so excited to welcome Chief Meteorologist from ABC Action News in Tampa Bay, my weatherman, Dennis Phillips. Dennis, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. How you doing, Allison?
I am so good. So Dennis and I, we've already been chatting. I was like, oh, we could just keep chatting or I could press record. So glad that I did that. First of all, I have to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule because this is really the busiest time of year for you. You live in Florida. You're a meteorologist in Florida and it is hurricane season.
Yeah, it certainly is, isn't it? And 2020 hurricane season seems to be a little more spunky than most other years.
Yeah, you're right. It's been a crazy kind of tropical season. I know we actually have one out there now, right? That you are like constantly posting about. Is it Sally? Is that
well,
right?
Well, yeah, there's, I'll tell you, yesterday I was looking at the maps and we had seven areas that we were looking at the Atlantic all in the same time. And I can't ever remember something like that. I mean, we're one storm name away from bumping over to the Greek alphabet.
That is crazy.
And that's what a lot of people have been saying. They didn't realize that that's what it is. So what happens when you run out of names? Well, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
And they've gone to the Greek alphabet. It happened back in 05 when Hurricane Katrina and Wilma and that really active year hit. But this will be the first time since then. So, I mean, who knows where we go from there? I mean, based on what we're doing, I mean, we may be bumping into something unknown territory, I guess.
Wow. I mean, I knew that it was bad when they used the name Nana.
But I don't know. I think Nana would be dropping like Werther's candy instead of raindrops. I mean, you know, you just like butterscotch treats. I mean, that's something to me that I hear when I hear Nana.
I know. It was crazy. So do you love I obviously don't love the storms and the devastation, but do you love this time of year or do you not look forward to it?
I think most weather geeks and I think most people who have a passion for weather proudly call themselves weather geeks. There's a passion for that stuff. I mean, it's like a newscaster when there's a big story that comes. Hurricane season. I will tell you, though, as I've gotten older, I've learned that what I do for a living, I've really changed how I do it. I mean, back when I was younger, it was all about just being the guy wanting to tie himself to a palm tree that, you know, a hurricane's coming and chasing them. And I've done that. And I love doing that. And don't get me wrong. There's certainly an exhilaration about going out chasing and in a safe way, hopefully knowing what you're doing. But, you know, for the last 5 or 10 years, I've kind of realized that people get a little nervous when hurricanes come and it isn't all about getting it right. And I think, again, when I was younger, it was all just about, I got to get this one right. I got to know where it's going. I can't be wrong. And I've learned that that's maybe not as important as helping people get through the storm, because there's so much fear, there's so much misinformation. Social media has been a blessing, but at the same time, it's also been a nightmare because there's all these folks putting stuff out there just trying to scare people. So my job has kind of gone from getting it right to maybe holding people by the hand and helping them get through what could be a pretty scary situation, especially with Irma 3 years ago.
Right. Yeah. We lost one of our trees in our front yard, came down, missed my dad's truck by like inches. That one is crazy. So a little backstory on you. What or when did you know that you wanted to be a meteorologist, a weatherman?
I was 6 years old and I lived in Seattle, Washington. I was born in Seattle.
I've lived there.
Yeah. I lived in Bellevue, actually.
I lived in Everett.
Yep, I know Everett very well. My sister's boyfriend used to live there.
Nice.
And when I was watching the weather on TV on Christmas Eve, and the weatherman was tracking Santa. And I thought, what a cool job. You actually get to track Santa and get paid for it. And I decided when I was 6 years old that I wanted to be a meteorologist on TV. And funny story, through the years, I've gone some different places. And I worked in LA for about 3 years. And this was back before social media and email. And I got a call from somebody and she said, so is this Dennis? And I said, yeah. She goes, did you ever live in Seattle? And I said, well, I was born in Seattle. I lived in Bellevue. She goes, did you go to Sherwood Forest Elementary School? And I go, yeah, I did. And she goes, I was in your first grade class and you always told me you wanted to be a weatherman.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
Yeah, so all my life. I mean, it was one or the other. I either wanted to be a garbage man when I was a little kid because I thought those were the coolest trucks ever, or I wanted to be a meteorologist. So those were my two choices.
Oh, that's so cool. I know my six-year-old right now, her current thing is she wants to just be someone who fixes phones.
Like, okay. You can make a lot of money doing that. I mean, it's like $200 to replace the screen. So, I mean, you could be a millionaire.
I know. I was like, all right, good to know. Good to know. Okay. So one of the things, I know you were talking about how like you have found this role of helping people through these kind of scary times. And one of the things that has completely made you one of the most lovable and popular weathermen out there is your rules that you have. And people remember these. So one in particular, because we have listeners from all over the world, actually. So for those listeners who don't live in Florida, can you quickly tell everyone about your rule number 7?
It's crazy how that started. Back in 2012, Hurricane Isaac was coming this way, and the Republican National Convention, the RNC, was here in Tampa. And there was a storm that was getting pretty close to us, but I knew it was going to miss us. But it was close enough that people were freaking out. And in 5 minutes, I just sat down and jotted down these rules. No rhyme or reason to it. Just kind of like, well, this is something, this is something. And then finally, rule number 7 was, don't freak out unless I tell you to, we're fine. And that really kind of started with just that one little storm. And I didn't think anything of it. But you're right. It, some ridiculous fashion, it's kind of stuck. And I don't even really know why. But to the extent now that I have my own rule number 7 merchandise. I mean, it's crazy. In fact, if you can see, I'm wearing a rule number 7 t-shirt right this second. But I mean, we've got t-shirts, we've got sweatshirts. And what's been really nice about it is my family, it started with my third grader. He had a little school project where we had hot chocolate donations. And our neighborhood is one of those neighborhoods that goes crazy at Christmas time.
Okay.
In fact, anybody in the Bay Area, if you live anywhere in Northern Pinellas or even not so much in Northern Pinellas, you've probably heard of the area that we have our Christmas lights. The whole neighborhood goes crazy. So what we did is we started doing some dollar hot chocolate fundraising. And with the people drive through, they would stop, get some hot chocolate. And we'd donate the money for the Children's Miracle Network. And that started for 1 year. And then we decided this last year, why don't we take rule number 7 and kind of do the same thing. And we started doing some merch with t-shirts. My wife, this is no lie, every night we are up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning making rule number 7 wine glasses and tumblers, and I'm sitting there packing the boxes, cutting the shipping label, doing all this stuff, and the whole family gets involved. Ryan, my daughter, my six-year-old, she makes a little picture. She isn't up till 4. Well, she's up till 3. But but we put it in the box, and we have raised over $30,000 in proceeds that go for Feeding Tampa Bay, Children's Miracle Network, the Cajun Navy for hurricane relief funds for Hurricane Laura. I mean, it's just been crazy. And again, yeah, it all started out just pretty much, don't freak out unless I'm freaking out, we're fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I know I've seen pictures on your Facebook of your family kind of like making these glasses, and they sell out too. I mean, it's so incredibly popular. And in fact, I know people are going to want to buy it. So we will definitely have your Etsy link and your Teespring link on the blog. And that's at $10kdollarday.com/10ksaturday. So when do you sleep?
I don't sleep a lot.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And a lot of folks, well, I have 6 kids anyway. So, I mean, you know, you've got kids. I mean, that kind of cuts into your sleep as it is, but I get home from work at 12:30 or 1. I'm packing boxes till 3 and 4. And then now when the kids would go to school, I would get up and then I'd go back to bed for a few hours. But now that the kids are at home and I'm a really light sleeper, mm-hmm, there's very little sleep because, you know, even though they're homeschooling, well, 2 of them are. My breakdown is my oldest is in medical school and my youngest is 6. So there's a big spread there. Yeah, big
that
spread.
Is.
So there's 3 at home. There's a 6-year-old. There's the 12-year-old, and then there's the 17-year-old, and he's about to go to college next year. But you know how it is when one or two of them are home and they're doing virtual school, there's bickering all the time. I mean, it's chaos, so there's not a lot of sleep, but you get used to it.
Did you always want a big family?
I never wanted a big family. I cannot explain it. the craziest thing. I have an older sister, and she was 9 years older, so I was pretty much home by myself. I can't ever say that I thought to myself, I really want this, but yet after a couple, it was so much fun that I just wanted more and more and more. And we've, you know, ended up with six.
That's amazing.
Just
and
fun.
I know, well, yeah, you have like, you know, your built-in TV crew too, because I know during the pandemic, you had to go live a lot from your house. And who was it that was like playing your theme music?
Ryan, that's my six-year-old daughter.
It was amazing. Did you ever, though, in your career, think to yourself, one day I might be going live from my living room during a pandemic?
It's nuts. I mean, right now I'm laying in bed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's just everything has totally changed. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the technology that's able to get us on television, I mean, this is the way it worked. I mean, I think a lot of folks thought, oh, well, they bring TV cameras and lights over. No, I used my daughter's iPad as the camera, and I used my son's laptop as the way to VPN into our weather computer to move my maps. So, I mean, there was no technology that was was professional technology. Yeah. It was just stuff around the house, and it still was able to get a great quality signal and get you on TV. Now, our biggest fear, and this is why I thought getting back to the station during storm season was important. You know, what if you lose Wi-Fi?
Yes.
What if you lose power?
Right.
Well, then you're done.
And then the rule number 7 goes out the window because everyone starts to panic.
Exactly.
If you're not there. They're like, if Dennis lost power, we're all going down.
It's a funny story because quickly when Irma was coming, and Hurricane Irma, for those of you who aren't from the area, that was a big storm. That was a Cat 5. And when people saw that the track was coming in the general direction of the Bay Area, people were freaking out. Rule number 7, I was trying desperately to remind people that we probably would be okay and that there would be some changes. But people see a track of a massive storm over your house, you're going to freak out. And so I was getting ready to go to work. We have several trees, big trees in our neighborhood, in our yard, rather. And I was not afraid of the house being destroyed by wind, but I was afraid that those trees would fall on the house. Mm-hmm. So my family left. And I was getting all these people saying, wait, you said rule number 7, but your family's leaving. What gives? I'm like, no. It's just that there's trees around the house. And I was afraid of that. But so anyway, so I was getting ready to go to work. And I went into work like 3 days. And I'm packing up the back of my car with my computer, scrapbook, pictures, anything that, you know, mementos that I wanted. And I was doing it, again, not because I thought that we were going to have a devastating storm at that point, because I was afraid a tree would fall and ruin all this stuff. Well, people in my neighborhood see the weatherman loading his car up with all his stuff, and they came out and just started yelling, wait a minute, you told us we were going to be okay. Why are you leaving? Like, no, it's okay. I'm just, because they don't have the big trees that I do. I unfortunately have a lot of big trees in my lawn. And so anyway, that was another learning experience for me, because you have to remember, people are really petrified when a storm is coming of that magnitude. And Irma was about as big as it gets.
Well, we actually had a listener who sent in a question for you, and that was her question. It comes from Lauren in St. Pete, and she said, Dennis, have you ever gotten close to telling us to actually freak out?
I haven't. We have yet to have a storm that I really felt was a... Okay, back in 2004, Charlie was that storm.
Oh, right.
But I had not made those rules yet.
Okay.
So there was no rule number 7 at that point. So luckily, because if rule number 7 had been around, I might have freaked out. Because when I left my house in 2004, I did not think it was going to be there when I got back. Charlie was that storm. And that was the storm. It's kind of a funny story. That's the storm that I started wearing suspenders. As geeky as these ridiculous suspenders are that I wear. I mean, I wore a jacket every day I did the weather prior to 2004 and Hurricane Charlie. And our sports guy, Jay Crawford, good looking guy, real stylish. He actually ended up going to ESPN, and he had a couple of pairs of suspenders that he wore very well. And he said to me, he's like, Dennis, you should get a pair of suspenders. I'm like, no, they're geeky. I'm a geek. I'm like, no, they look okay. I'm like, all right. So I got a pair of suspenders, and I happened to have them on when I went in to cover Hurricane Charlie. No reason. I just happened to have this pair on. Well, you're on the air 36 hours in a row. And the station does all this research after the storm missed us. And I took my jacket off and I had a pair of suspenders on. No reason. I just have, you know, because when you're on the air that many hours in a row, you know, weather people, you take your jacket off, you roll up your sleeves, you're in it for a long time, you're getting comfortable. Well, I happen to have these suspenders. So after the storm missed us, the station did all this research. Who did you watch? Who did you like? Overwhelming response. I have no idea what the guy's name was, but he was wearing a pair of suspenders. And my boss goes, that's your new shit.
So, yep. You're like, okay, I'm the suspender guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, for weather people, because we're geeky as it is, you kind of get away with it. But that was the storm that I really thought was coming our way. And it turned in the last minute, unfortunately, for Punta Gorda. But yeah. I mean, there are a lot of folks in the Bay Area that evacuated to Orlando, and they ended up getting right in the middle of it.
Right.
Because it missed us.
Yeah.
But it didn't miss Orlando. Orlando had 130 mile an hour winds, and the people from our area that evacuated to get away from the water ended up right that smack in the middle of the storm. Yeah. So no, the answer to your question is I have not gotten that far. And it's actually even kind of changed even more than just the fact that a storm's going to miss us or not. Because my take is, if people are going to be making life and death decisions, then they're going to be making decisions that are going to impact the wealth, not the wealthy, the livelihood of their family. They got to have their head screwed on straight. And how are you going to have your head screwed on straight if you're freaking out because the storm's coming?
Yeah.
You got to sit down, take a minute, relax, and try to at least get through this to keep your family safe. So it's kind of changed the message. But yeah, I often wonder if we have a Cat 5 coming this way, if my rule number 7 stuff will be going out the window, because, you know, we've been lucky. It's been 100 years.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's something a lot of folks don't realize. It's been 99 years since a major hurricane has struck the Bay Area directly.
Oof.
And that's, you know, are we overdue or are we really lucky?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, it's 2020, so.
Yeah, right. Don't say it.
Okay. So now I want to segue into what we call our 10K5. It's 5 questions that Lulu and I answer every week on the full episode, but we love to ask our guests the same questions to kind of get to know you a little bit more. What makes you tick, your isms. Okay. So I have not prepped Dennis with any of this. So we're going to get these candid answers right now. So the first question is, Dennis, what is your current obsession? What are you obsessed with right now?
So my obsession, I'm a Stephen King fanatic.
Oh.
And I have pretty much read or listened to every Stephen King novel or short story he has ever written. And it's how I go back and forth to work. I have a 45-minute drive.
Okay.
So on that drive, I listen to Audible. And I listen to any kind of stories that are coming out. So I guess my family knows that's kind of, besides the obvious weather and everything else, I would say maybe something folks don't know is I am a Stephen King obsessed fan.
Nice.
So much so that I know that, you know, he used to live down in Sarasota, and I considered going and knocking on his door one time, but I refrained from doing it.
That's awesome. I didn't know that he used to live in Sarasota.
Yeah, he did. In fact, he would come down every winter. And a buddy of mine, a guy I work with, Jameson Euler, our co-anchor, he said that his dad was at a bookshop in Sarasota one time, and he walked up, and Stephen King was there in the bookshop. And they were looking at a book, and he didn't say anything to him. And he wasn't really looking at him per se, but they were looking at a book, and all of a sudden, a book fell down off the shelf. And Stephen King looked over at Jameson's father and said, "Ghosts." that was kind of funny.
That is funny. What's your favorite Stephen King book?
It's one that maybe a lot of people don't know about. It's called 11/22/63.
Oh.
And it's a time travel novel where someone is presented an opportunity to go back in time and prevent the assassination of JFK.
Oh, interesting.
And it's, you have the ability, if it doesn't go right the first time, to go back into the portal, and then it resets and try again.
Oh, interesting.
It's a really amazing novel. I mean, I love scary stuff. This is not scary at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen King wrote a lot of stuff people don't realize. He wrote The Shawshank Redemption. He wrote The Green Mile. He wrote Misery. I mean, he wrote all these amazing non-horror type movies. But what I loved about 11/22/63 is he, you know, it was this point in time that was such a monumental point in our country's history, and he turned it also into a love story. And I can't say that I'm really a love story kind of guy.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, it was just an amazing book. I cannot recommend it enough.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice. All right. Our second question is, what's on your wish list?
To get my kids through college and not being in the poorhouse and doing so.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, that's probably it. I mean, that drives most of my thought. With the oldest in medical school, two in college. Oof. And then, you know, it's, I would say, I know a lot of folks probably would say, oh, I want to travel and I want to do this. And I don't even really consider the luxury, because I think I would be too depressed if I told myself, why aren't I doing this? So I go back to the joy of having so many kids and loving having so many kids. And at that point, just thinking, all right, well, let me see if I can get them through college. And by the way, since my youngest is six, I'm going to be working. I may be selling shoes, but I'm going to be working until I'm 70. I have no doubt in my mind. I'm going to have to, just because, yeah, I've got so many kids. And that's okay. Because, you know, they always say, if, you know, working keeps you young, and once you retire, sometimes things go downhill. So yeah. I will not have that luxury, I'm sure.
Yeah, you got to keep making those tumblers for the next 30 years.
My wife is arthritic now, because she was making so many of them. I mean, she makes every one of them by hand. And just so, in the last 2 days, we've sold about 513 of them is the number.
That is insane. 2 days.
And she makes them all by hand. So talk about rule number seven. She is freaking out, because she isn't going to be able to get these orders filled until Christmas of 2024.
Wow. Oh, good for her. She's got to get some of that hemp cream for your hands. That works.
It's nuts. I mean, but she's a perfectionist too, because I'm like, well, let somebody else try. And she'll let my daughter try. And there might be like the number sign is just a little bit tilted one way. Oh, no, I can't do this. Got to redo it. So, I mean, you know, part of it is her own. But I mean, I get it. If people are going to spend $20 for a wine tumbler, you know, they want it to be perfect. And so there you go. So that's, so my wish list is just to find a way to get my kids all the way through college and not be in the poorhouse in doing so.
Love it. Love it. Well, you'll enjoy this next question then. So if you had $10,000 extra to spend, you have to spend it on you. So you can't give it away. You can't use it to do bills yet. So if you had just 10K, you get to blow it. What would you do?
That's actually a number that's kind of funny, because a couple of weeks ago, I'm a huge sports fan. I have two real loves in terms of my extracurriculars. It's sports. Well, my kids obviously, but sports, and I love Broadway shows, which is really an odd combination. If you think about
it. I love
it. Regardless, I was talking to my son it was probably about 4 weeks ago, and I happened to notice the Tampa Bay Rays were 20-1 to win the World Series, and I think the Rays have a legitimate shot of winning the World Series. And I told Brett, Brett, if I had $10,000, I would put it on the Rays to win the World Series, and that would pay me $200,000 if they were to win. So yeah, I do have a gambling background as well. So
that is cool.
That is probably what I would have done with that. I mean, I literally even thought about it. I even said, boy, can we scrape up this kind of money? You'd have to go to Vegas to do it and whatnot. Yeah. But it would have paid $200,000 if they win. And I'll tell you, the Rays have a legitimate chance to win the World Series this year. I mean, I think that would have been a really good risk.
I love that answer. I don't think we have ever had someone with that answer. I love that. Well, yeah, why not? Blow it, and then, you know, hopefully you'll make it back 10 times.
Right, exactly.
That's amazing. Okay, wait, I have to stop though. Pause. So you mentioned Broadway shows. I want to talk about that for just a second. So are you a Hamilton fan? Did you watch it?
I am. Yeah, I've seen it in fact so many times on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I was so excited that they released it with the original cast, because we flew our whole family to Chicago to see it. Several years ago when it just came out, when it was on the national tour. Well, it actually wasn't a national tour. It was playing in Chicago, and it was about 10 below zero. The hotel we stayed at, the fire alarms went off because everything froze. It was incredibly cold, and it was a Christmas present to all my kids, because they started liking it before I did. I mean, at that point, my 8-year-old knew the entire show by heart, and we fell in love with that show, but I never could get a ticket or afford a ticket to see it on Broadway. So I always felt as though I would have loved to have seen Lin-Manuel Miranda play Hamilton. And sure enough, now that it's on Disney Plus, I've probably watched it 25 times.
Nice.
And so much so that my wife now hates it, because, you know,
like,
it's
enough.
On constantly. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we saw it in Chicago, and then we saw it at the Straz.
Okay.
And I may or may have not seen a bootlegged copy of the original performance from, you know, someone shot from a balcony. I cannot confirm nor deny that I've done that. but I may have seen that. But seeing the original, the way that it was shot on Disney Plus was awesome.
Yeah, that was. I really enjoyed it. And I'm always a skeptic about movie musicals. And then to add that it was like a live version, I was like, oh, how's this going to be? But I actually thought it was really well done. And I was a big fan as well. Do you have a favorite Broadway show overall that you've seen?
I do. And it's probably because it was the first one I ever saw. I saw Wicked.
Oh, yes. Straz,
and with Stephanie Block. She was actually, Stephanie was the original understudy for Idina.
Yeah, I saw that, the same one at the Straz.
And her, let me tell you, as much press as Idina gets and all the other, Carrie Ellis is actually another one of my favorite Elphabas. She's from England, and she actually did a version of Defying Gravity with Queen, and in the studio, and it's more of a pop upbeat version of it. It's really awesome. You can go on YouTube and look and just type in Carrie Ellis Defying Gravity, and it's pretty amazing. But seeing Stephanie, I just thought she was unbelievable, and that kind of started my love affair with a lot of the Broadway shows. I mean, I've probably seen Wicked maybe 12 times.
Wow.
Because I brought my kids, my daughter and I went up to New York for a weekend, a dad daughter weekend, and we saw it. And back then, that was when you would win lottery tickets by being in person.
Yep.
And we got the lottery ticket for $20 or whatever it was, and you get the front row seats. And then me and two of my other boys, we went up, and also we won the lottery to see Book of Mormon. So we saw Book of Mormon in the front row, which was awesome. So yeah. We were going to see The Music Man, my wife and I, with Hugh Jackman, because she's a huge Hugh Jackman fan and a huge Music Man fan, but it got postponed because of COVID.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to still do it next year, but we'll see.
Now, do you sing? Do you like to sing, or you just listen? Just love it.
I used to. I actually, to continue my geeky weather persona, I used to be a pretty decent singer in high school. I actually got to travel in Europe with a choir. There was a 50-voice choir, and they picked one person from each state, and I was picked from Virginia.
Dennis?
Yeah, I know. That was a long one.
That's like a big deal.
I think maybe only three people applied. I'm thinking maybe that was it. I don't know. But it was about a 35 day European tour where we got to go to all these unbelievable places and do these performances. And I was a sophomore in high school at the time. It was pretty amazing. So I don't sing anymore. Cool. I don't do any of that stuff.
No karaoke.
Nope. I'm too embarrassed to do karaoke. I am. I'm too shy.
Oh, you got to do it.
I'm too shy. It's crazy because I really am kind of a wallflower a lot of times. And I'm not, you know, you'd think if you go on TV and you have a lot of people watching, and you'd think that maybe you'd feel comfortable in that kind of environment. But honestly, I really don't. I was on stage one time at the Straz. Annie came, the show Annie came.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit role for a weatherman in the show. And it was about a 3-minute blip is all it was. I walked on stage, and it was part of the actual show. You walked on stage, and there was a radio presentation where you were giving the weather forecast, and it was part of the show. So I walked on stage, and I was floored because you couldn't see any of the audience because all the lights were in your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess you understand that concept with your background. And it was good because I think if I'd seen all those people, I would have been freaked out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, those bigger theaters, it's always a little easier to forget that they're there. It's the smaller theaters when they're like, you can reach out and touch the front row that you're like, oh yeah. You can hear people like opening their tiny pieces of candy in the front row.
And you hear that? You can actually hear that stuff?
Oh, yes. It's so annoying.
I believe it. Yeah, I mean, that could throw you. I could see, especially. And that's interesting because, you know, a lot of Broadway venues are kind of small venues compared to the big ones.
Yeah.
Like if you've gone to the Straz, and I mean, the Straz is bigger than pretty much any venue that you would ever find in Broadway. And I never realized that because I always figured you think Broadway, you think it's this massive stuff. A lot of times it's really little old theaters.
Yeah. It's much smaller. Yeah. The touring houses are huge because they're, you know, bringing in people that rarely see shows. So, you know, it's like a very special experience. But yeah, the Broadway houses, they're all very old and quaint. So yeah, definitely a different experience. And expensive, yes. Oh, and I can't even imagine once they open back up, I'm sure it's going to be crazy prices just to try to make up for the year that they lost, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. So our next question, number four, if you had now $10,000 and you had to give it away, is there a specific person? Is there a charity, an organization that if you had 10K to give away, where would you give it?
That's an easy one. That's back in, again, in our, what our family has been doing for charity. We've been working really closely with the Children's Miracle Network for several years. And when we do our hot chocolate stand and we do our popcorn and whatnot, I mean, we've ended up just in donations there, we've raised probably over $30,000 just in dollar hot chocolate, just in dollar popcorn, and people buying Rule Number 7 candles over the month of December. So that's a charity we work really close with. My daughter has worked in Gainesville with Shands Hospital and works a lot with the families with Children's Miracle Network and the dance marathon that UF does. The funds go toward Children's Miracle Network. So our family has been really, really involved with that for several years. I mean, there's some great charities out there. St. Jude's, I get to do a lot of functions with St. Jude's. And, you know, and now Feeding Tampa Bay over the last 6 months has been such a huge, huge help for so many families during COVID, because they were the one thing that I find just tragic and also very eye-opening is that, you know, 70% of the people who are seeking help from Feeding Tampa Bay have never gone to a food bank before.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing it just because this has hit so many homes and so many families mm-hmm. that had never needed help before. But people who have lost their jobs and everything has changed from COVID, they're needing help. So I guess those are the biggest ones. Children's Miracle Network, Feeding Tampa Bay. The Cajun Navy is one that I've been working with lately because they've been doing some really great help and great work with Hurricane Laura survivors and victims after that storm. And now Sally, as you mentioned, is moving on shore as well. And while I don't think wind is going to be the biggest issue for that hurricane, there's going to be some massive flooding in those same areas. I mean, but that one's going to extend all the way, maybe even to Pensacola. It isn't just going to be Louisiana. It's going to be Mississippi, Alabama, and also even the Panhandle of Florida.
Crazy. Okay. And our last question, we always end every episode with a question for each other, and it's what's your happy? And we actually started kind of like your Rule Number 7. We put this on everything. It's what's your happy? So we like to think about something small, something that just has made you happy. And it can be something super small because we like to focus on even the little things, not just always waiting for the next big thing to make us happy. So Dennis, what's your happy today?
My happy is when the first thing I did when I got out of bed, I happened to walk down the hall and my daughter saw me, my six-year-old, and she ran up and gave me just a massive hug and looked at me and said, "I love you, Daddy." And that's nothing melts me more. We were talking about this earlier, even before we were recording, is, you know, my hours are really kind of screwy. I go to work at 1 p.m. I get home at 1 a.m. So when I go to work, my kids are at school. And when I get home, my kids are in bed. So I don't see my kids very much during the week at all. So that's kind of probably why I choose to spend my free time. I don't do a lot of travel and we don't go a lot of places. I spend it with my family, with my kids. Yeah. And so anytime I am lucky enough to have one of them come up to me and just give me that smile and that hug, that's all that I need. I mean, that makes the hours worthwhile and everything else.
I bet. I love that. What's your favorite like family activity, even during the pandemic, that you guys have done being home together?
We do a lot of family games. You know what I find awesome is, and I'm not a huge board game player. I mean, I will do it if the family likes to, but that's really never been one of my things. But all my kids love board games. Love them.
That's great.
And so you know, they'll want to play a board game or they want to play a card game. But we do have one of our favorite video games. It's called Jackbox. And it's a game where you log your phone into a website and that gets you on the game, and then the game is on your television. So you can play trivia games. I'm a big trivia guy. So you play trivia games, or you can play all these different kind of family games, and everybody can play using either their phones or their iPads. And we've been doing a ton of that when we're stuck at home. In fact, that's probably been our most fun. And it's everybody can play, no matter if you're 6 or 16 or 60, And that's been most of our time. I mean, we haven't been quite as homebodies maybe as some people. I'm a little more daring, I guess. I don't know if some people would call that irresponsible. you know, we wear our masks and we have our hand sanitizer with us constantly. But, you know, we've done the parks. Mm-hmm. We've gone to Disney.
Okay.
And I will tell you, I feel a heck of a lot safer at Disney than I felt when I go to Walmart.
Really? Well, yeah, oh, I guess so.
Absolutely. I mean, when we went, first of all, the Disney police are out.
Yeah.
And they enforce what their policy is. I mean, my daughter was in a stroller and she had a juice box and she was drinking her juice box. And when she put it back down on the stroller thing, one of the people immediately said, "Well, sweetie, you have to put your mask back on if you're not drinking right that second."
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
She had literally 2 seconds later had been drinking. So they're really, really strict about it. And I can tell you, like, all the rides, they were disinfecting between people. I mean, they've got it down.
Yeah.
And the capacity was 25%. So we rode Space Mountain 7 times.
See, there's some things about these changes that I think I really like.
Yeah, it was crazy. The longest wait was 20 minutes for the Seven Dwarfs mine train.
Yeah.
And I had never been able to ride that ever because the line was always 2 hours.
That's crazy.
So we're, you know, that was another really great family experience. I mean,
we were
real careful and wearing masks in 90 degree heat is not fun.
Sure.
I mean, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And so I think people, maybe if they're going to go in the fall or the winter as Floridians, I know a lot of us Floridians, we don't even go to Disney in the summer because it's too hot.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that was really kind of fun. And surprisingly, not a lot of people. I felt way more distance to there than I felt anytime I go to a grocery store or Walmart.
Did you get the midday Florida thunderstorm rain on you?
No, we didn't. I planned around that.
That's nice.
Yeah, I did. I'm always checking radar and making sure that.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I am. I mean, when we plan our Disney trips or whatnot, I mean, I keep a real close eye to the radar and I can usually kind of tell a day or two in advance, maybe where the flow is going to be. So where the storms will pop it up, what time. And I've usually been pretty good about that. So we rarely get rained out of those trips.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes total sense. Cause I mean, you'd be the best person to ask, "Hey, should I go to Disney today?" I'm going to start asking you anytime we plan on that.
Yeah. Give me a call.
I will.
I have absolutely learned it. And people, you know, I get that all the time. Is the weather, and they're embarrassed to ask, or they feel bad to ask. I mean, why would you be embarrassed to ask? That's my job.
Right.
And that is something that's really changed about what I do for a living is, you know, back in the day, if you would write a letter to a weatherman or whatever, I know when I was a little kid, I used to do that. I would write a letter and say, "Hey, can you send me something?" And you would pretty much have 3 stations to watch the news, and that was about it. And there wasn't this interaction. Well, nowadays, if someone messages me on Facebook and I don't respond within 5 minutes, they get ticked off at me.
Oh.
I mean, it is people really are so comfortable reaching out that now it's to the point where it's not even just a matter of it's an expectation.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an odd feeling. I will tell you, I kind of got into it with one of my viewers last week on my DPL show. I have a web streaming show, and it's, you know, a show that I'm very transparent with my life.
Yeah.
I've always had been. I talk about my family. People know my address, which scares the heck out of my wife.
Aww.
And, you know, and so I'm doing my show and I go on tangents. I'm the dog it up that when he hears squirrel, he goes in another direction. That is me.
Okay.
And, so I was doing my show and I was talking about some stuff. I was talking about my family and somebody wrote in the text comment, "Get on with it." Because they wanted weather or whatever.
Ew.
And knowing me, I stopped. I looked at the camera and I go, "Jennifer, Jennifer, Jennifer." I said, "I don't know who you think you are, but if you're going into somebody, like, let's say you went into a speaking engagement, you were watching somebody talking in an auditorium. And if they weren't saying exactly what you wanted to hear right there, would you stand up and say, 'Get on with it'?"
Yep.
It's the same mentality. And I, that is the one thing that I've noticed nowadays more than ever is, and I don't know if it's people stuck at home getting rude or whatever the case may be, but there's this expectation that you know, you better give that person what they want right then and there, or you're going to hear about it. And I have no tolerance for that.
Oh, yeah. And I also feel like people, when they're behind their computers, they feel like it's a this place that and they can say anything. They don't have to be nice. They just feel like, oh, I can just type that. Yeah. It's that cyber bullying mentality.
Yeah. And I get it. I mean, I guess if, but my take is, look, and I even said this, I said, look, I go on tangents. If this isn't your, you know, your cup of tea, then feel free to leave.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what's the meme? You know, you don't have to announce your departure, because it's just, there's so much out there these days now that people have a ton of choice. So go to someplace that makes you happy. But why would you be rude? I just don't get it. But yet that seems to be sometimes the norm, I hate to say.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I know a lot of our listeners are going to be wanting to follow you now and learn about all your other rules as well. So go ahead and tell everybody who's listening, where can they find you? Where can they follow you?
Okay, so on Facebook, I do Twitter some, but I do Facebook more. That's always been my home spot.
Yeah,
Facebook is Dennis Phillips with one N in Dennis, D-E-N-I-S, Phillips, W-F-T-S. That's my Facebook handle. So Dennis Phillips, WFTS on Twitter. It's Dennis Phillips 28. It's the reason it's 28 because we used to be Channel 28. No one uses those numbers anymore, but it's Dennis Phillips 28. And then in Instagram, it's Dennis Phillips. I think it's Dennis Phillips ABC Weather. I'm not sure. I go on Instagram and I post, but you never look at your own handle,
it's
right?
It's very true. It's very true. But guys, don't worry. You can go to our blog, 10kdollarday.com/10ksaturday, and you will find all of Dennis's information right there too. So if you don't have a pen handy right now or, you know, typing into your phone, you can just check it out there as well.
Awesome. And the last one, by the way, the rule, this one's easy. It's for all of our Etsy stuff.
Yes.
It's rule 7 shop, rule 7 and the number 7, not written out, rule7shop.etsy.com. Or you can just go on Etsy and type in Rule 7 and you'll see all the stuff that my wife has just worked so hard in our dining room, which is turned from a dining room into a sweatshop. And that's pretty much what it is right now. So
who knew just a simple little rule could turn into a franchise, a whole brand. Thank you again so much for taking some time out of your hurricane season. I feel like you're Santa, you know, like when Santa's the busiest time of the year and all the elves, that's like your hurricane season. You're like constantly working.
It is. and that's okay. Cause you know, we love doing it. And this was a blast. I really enjoyed it. I don't do a lot of podcasts, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. But this was really, really fun. I enjoyed it.
Oh, well, I'm so glad. And now, you know, you can add our 10K Dollar Day podcast to your 45-minute drive when you are done listening to your Stephen King novels.
As a matter of fact, I just finished one a couple of days ago. And I will do it on my way to work. I promise. That'll be fun.
Perfect. All right. Fun. Well, thank you again so much. Everyone, please go follow Dennis. He's the best weatherman, even if you don't live in Florida. So thank you again, and we will see you on Wednesday for a full episode. Dennis, tell the listeners goodbye.
Bye.
That was 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu. And don't forget, with friends like us, who needs amenities?